Well, today is Pentecost Sunday, and as I said earlier when we were coming in, Pentecost Sunday in Scripture happened 50 days after the Passover. That was this festival of feasts, and it was commanded in the Old Testament. And today, this is the day on the church calendar that we celebrate that, the 50 days past Passover. And today I wanted to just talk to us about the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit and Spirit baptism. Now, since it's today is Pentecost Sunday, we're going to talk about what is the role of the Holy Spirit in our life. And what is the purpose of it? As I said when we were coming in, you know, today our worship songs are focusing on the Holy Spirit and what does He do in our life and everything like that. And today I wanted to just give us kind of a brief overview. I know a lot of us know about the Holy Spirit and what He does. And I just want to remind us that, you know, no one person or church owns the Holy Spirit, nor can any church take out the Holy Spirit. Because we know the Spirit was given by Jesus, not by denomination, not by one person. But the Spirit's alive and active and well and wants to speak to us and guide us. That Jesus gave us the Holy Spirit to be that seal, that deposit of the faith, what is to come. But also to give us to be a wise counselor, to walk alongside of us as we journey through life here. And so I want to start with this. When we speak about the Holy Spirit, when I speak about that, we're talking about to a real person. Scripture says that you can grieve the Holy Spirit. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. And it's not just some ambiguous cloud out here. It's not some ghost, or it's not Casper the Friendly Ghost floating around out here. But the Holy Spirit's a real person. He lives inside of us. Now, some misunderstand or misthink that the Holy Spirit is some strange thing, or that's some obscure, you know, part of Scripture. And it's really all about Jesus and nothing else. But there's the Trinity, the Godhead, the God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit all together. Now, can we raise our hands and say we understand all that? I'm going to put my hand down because I don't understand it all. However, we know it's real. And we know when Jesus promises something, we should take Him at His word and receive that gift, like expecting happy children as the sons and daughters of God, saying, "Thank you, Lord, for that gift of the Spirit." And today we want to unpack some of that about what is the Holy Spirit and who is He and what does He do? So I want to start with this. There's five major encounters with the Holy Spirit in a person's life. If we had time to unpack Scripture and look at everything, you could pretty much surmise and boil it down to these five things. First, there's a convincing and convicting, John 16:8. There's a regeneration and a cleansing by the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer. There's the indwelling, the assuring and guiding. Then there's the maturing and sanctifying work of the Spirit. And then there's the empowering and anointing. And don't worry, this as every week, this will all be online on our website. You can download all the sermon notes. I know some of you, I saw you trying to write, but you can download this here today as well. But these are kind of the five major encounters the Spirit does in our life. What we really want to talk about is this number fifth one. It's the empowering and the anointing. Acts 1:8 says, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you." And today, we want to talk about this empowering. It's not for some show. It's not to get some gift. The goal of today's talk is that, are you full of the Spirit overflowing to go out and be a witness? Yes, God has given certain things through the Spirit to confirm His presence and His power through signs and different tongues, stuff like that. But really the goal of the Spirit is to go out and to be a witness and to live life on mission and on point for God and be faithful and strong and be a strong witness. And so let's do this. Here's our text for today. So turn with me to Acts chapter 1. These are going to be our three main texts here. Acts chapter 1, verses 4 through 5. And let me get there myself here. How many of you are thankful for the Holy Spirit in your life? The Spirit, yep, amen, yep, has guided you. He's there. He's real. He reassures you that the best is yet to come, right? He's with us. He guides us and convicts us. We are so thankful for the Holy Spirit in our life. And so look at Acts chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. And while he was staying there, I'm reading out the ESV, while he was staying with them, he ordered them, this is Jesus, not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You heard from me, for John baptized you with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." Once again, remember, a church didn't give this to us. Jesus himself, he gave the Holy Spirit. And thus, if Jesus gives something, a church, a person cannot take it away or can't try to add on to it. Christ gave us the Spirit. Turn with me over to chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Very common passage of Scripture. If you're in, you know, charismatic, evangelical Pentecostal churches, you've heard this probably before. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. It says, "When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues of as of fire appeared to them and rested on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And verse 5, now they were dwelling in Jerusalem, Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And then lastly, turn back over to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11, verses 11 through 13. This is the parable where Jesus is talking about fish, and he says, hey, you earthly fathers, if you are good and you know how to give good gifts to your sons and daughters, how much more does our heavenly Father give good gifts? So that's the setup for this. So look at verse 11 through 13. It says, this is Jesus speaking. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will he give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how much to give good gifts to your children, how much more will a heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? You hear that promise? Man, that's a great promise. So let's take a moment. Let's just pray here. Father, we ask, God, as we go forward, that you would speak through your word. Not through my words or my thoughts, but God, we pray that your word would speak for its own. And God, we just take a moment. We ask for the Holy Spirit. Jesus, you said if we ask that you would give freely and you give good gifts to your sons and daughters. So God, we just ask right now for this congregation, for Heartland Community Church, every church here in Sioux City, God, that you would pour out your spirit again in us, God. A spirit of holiness, a spirit of devotion, a spirit of conviction, a spirit of love and generosity through the empowering of the Holy Spirit. And we pray this all, Jesus, in your strong and mighty name. Amen. And amen. And so, from those verses, we see and we hear that there's a baptism of the Spirit. The Spirit comes and is given to us. I put this chart up here just to highlight. We all know about water baptism, and we know what that symbolizes. But then there's the Spirit baptism. We know that all these people in Pentecost, they were already believers in Jesus. They already had the seal of the Holy Spirit in them. Jesus was very clear that there was going to be another baptism. There was something else to come after the initial infilling of the Holy Spirit. And so this little chart just shows you very quickly that just like water baptism and Spirit baptism, it occurs after salvation. It's for increased obedience, ministry, anointing. It's commanded by Jesus. And water baptism is drenched in the water, but with the baptism of Spirit, we are drenched in the Holy Spirit. We are filled to overflowing in our physical body, mind, and soul, but outwardly that pours out to others, that shows them that God is real, he's alive and active, and he's powerful, and he can heal and redeem and restore. And so that's kind of the comparison, and we could spend a whole message on just the comparisons between those two things, but I just put that up there just to highlight that. But with that, I want to highlight, this is our main theme of the day, is that the Holy Spirit empowers us with supernatural ability through Spirit baptism. Now, with that said, some of us can come from a Pentecostal background. Some of you may come from a non-Pentecostal background. Some of you may come from the crazy Pentecostal backgrounds, right? All right? Where stuff was abused and wrongly done and manipulated, spiritual manipulation. Some of you came from backgrounds where, I mean, you don't speak about the Holy Spirit. You know what I mean? You don't raise your hands. You speak louder than this. And oh my goodness, that person's too excited in church. But if we can come to the middle portion of what Scripture says, the Spirit baptism is a blessing. It's not scary. It doesn't take over you and you don't know what to do. It's not uncontrollable. We participate in that. Jesus gave it as a blessing, as a gift to us. And thus, we shouldn't fear it, but we should know how it operates and what is the blessing of it. Now, some of us here, you may believe in Spirit baptism. You may not, and that's okay. It's fine. But what is undeniable is Jesus gave the Spirit, and we are called to walk in the Spirit, and we're called to be constantly filled with the Spirit. So whatever your beliefs, some of us have different beliefs, whether it's the initial physical evidence of speaking in tongues or not, and that's okay. We're an Assemblies of God church, and we believe that's one of our doctrines. But once again, like I'm going to say, the tongues is over here. That's not the issue. The issue of the Spirit of the baptism is to be a witness, to live a life of holiness and empoweredness to Jesus, and to go out and to be a witness. Jesus didn't give the Spirit baptism so everybody can just speak in some other language and be like, ooh, yay. No, that was just a confirming sign to show, hey, go out and be a witness. I've empowered you. I'm with you. Go out and tell others about him. The Spirit is real. The gift of the Spirit is real. And it's something we shouldn't be afraid of, like I said. So let's dive in here. What is Spirit baptism? What is it? Spirit baptism happens five times in Acts. And these are the different instances in Acts where it happens. Now, that word or phrasing, initial physical evidence of speaking in tongues or spirit baptism, is not necessarily in Scripture. Jesus says, I will baptize you with the Spirit, but the Spirit baptism, that phrase is not necessarily used. But what we get from Acts is we see kind of a pattern of repetition of what happens when Paul, Silas, and these other guys went to the towns, and they said that they had received Jesus, but Scripture says they have not received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They have not received the Holy Spirit. How many, you know, if you've read through Acts, you kind of see that pattern. Oh, there was believers that came to faith in Christ, but the disciples show up, and they're like, what is this Holy Spirit? We have not received him. Now, we know at salvation, the Spirit deposits that in us. The Spirit is the one who draws us to Christ. The Spirit is the one who renews our mind. So at the moment, when you confess with your mouth and believe in your mind that Jesus is Lord, the Holy Spirit fills you, regenerates your mind. He's there, the point of justification. However, it's very clear from Acts that there was something separate to a salvation experience. And so whether you're more of a Reformed background or you're more of a Pentecostal evangelical background, regardless of where you grew up or what you think, Scripture is very clear on face value of the wording. Something else happened that the apostles in the early church could distinguish those who had been saved versus those who had been filled and baptized with the Holy Spirit. Jesus promised to take the same Holy Spirit who had lived inside of you since salvation and drench you outwardly in his person and power. In all these cases, we see that the Spirit was living in the believers, but what Jesus wanted to do with the Spirit baptism, he wanted to drench you outwardly. Because what happened after all these believers received the baptism? Does anybody know? It's really simple. They went out and were a witness. They went out and told others about Jesus. There was a direct correlation between being filled with the Holy Spirit and going out to be a witness. And so once again, that's where we come at it. Sometimes, I've grown up in the Assemblies of God tribe, the Pentecostal evangelical tribe, and sometimes it's been the focus of the gifts have been an abnormal focus. There's nothing wrong with the gifts of tongues, of healing, prophecy, you know, words of knowledge, words of encouragement. That's all good things. But sometimes we've so focused on that, we've missed that the purpose of the Spirit was to go out and to be a witness. We need the signs and wonders are there to help show that God is alive and he's supernatural. He's all powerful. But once again, that's not the purpose. How many of you ever met a Christian that was all that they came to Christ and they were all about, what can Jesus do for me? You ever met someone like that in your walk of faith? Yep. I've met Christians that were just, what can the church give me? What can Jesus give me? Just give me. Give me, give me, give me, give me. And never, there was no outflow. Once again, in the Spirit, we seek this fresh anointing. We seek the gifts of the Spirit. But we don't just seek to seek and just pile up and, give me more and more. But we ask for a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit to go out and to be a witness, to go out with boldness, to go out and speak to our neighbor, our coworkers, to go out and stand up against culture that says, hey, it's okay to do this, this, and this. It's okay to kill the innocent. No, we're going to stand up and say, no, Jesus says to protect the innocent. We're going to add that, but you need the power of the Spirit to go out and do that stuff. So Jesus promised to take the same Holy Spirit and to drench us outwardly in person and in power. Now, many of you know, before I was a lead pastor, I was a kid pastor, so you know I love a good object lesson, right? And I know a lot of us are big kids in here, right? And so we're going to have a quick object lesson. No, I'm not going to drink all this, all right? We're not going to have a chug fest here. But pretend this is you, all right? Pretend this is you. This is you. At the moment of salvation, the Holy Spirit comes in. And man, how many of us, man, we could testify all day. Man, when the power of the Spirit came in your life, when Jesus redeemed you, saved you, called you by name, you felt. I remember driving in my little 1986 Buick Century, up my little hometown street when the power of the Spirit came in my life. When I said, God, I surrender. You have it all. My sin, my darkness. I remember that cleansing and that infilling. And for once in my life, I felt free. I felt full. And so this is you when the initial of that moment of salvation, when you confess and believe in your heart. And so the Spirit fills you up. Isn't it awesome to be filled with the Spirit? But Jesus and the disciples, they had the Spirit. In the early church, the 120 that were in the upper room, they were full of the Spirit. They were there. But what we are talking about, when I do this with kids and kids point before, boy, the kids, they always are like, pour more. But the Scripture says that the baptism is the infilling of the Spirit to overflowing. And in Ephesians, it says, be filled with the Spirit, to be constantly be filled. The baptism of the Spirit isn't just to keep pouring into you, but it's to overflow your life. And so as the Spirit pours into you, the baptism, it goes more and more and more. And look at that. Now, your entire life is saturated in the power of the Spirit. Is that water around the whole cup? Yep. Is that water over that cup? Yep. And the baptism of the Holy Spirit is to overflow on top of you, underneath you, around you. It's to spill out and to flow to everyone around you. Now, once again, the Spirit baptism, is it all about the water? No, it's not about the water. Yes, the Spirit is there to comfort us, to guide us, to convict us, to encourage us. And that is a gift. But the Spirit is given to each one of you. Like I said, I'm going to harper on this all day. It's to go out and to live lives of holiness and to share the gospel. Jesus said, you will receive power when my Spirit comes upon you to be my witnesses. It doesn't say you're going to receive power to have a good church service. It doesn't say you're going to receive power just to keep it to yourself. Those things are all a byproduct, a blessing of the Spirit. I pray that we have supernatural healings and workings in our church and in our city. But the goal of the church is not to have just a good service or keep it to myself. The goal is the outpouring. So how can you be sure that you've received the baptism? Spirit baptism is promised to every follower of Jesus by both Jesus and Peter. In these verses, it talks about, we're not going to read them, but it talks about how Jesus promised his Holy Spirit. And Peter says, it's for everyone, to you and your family, and to those who are far off. In many accounts in Acts, there was a detailed acknowledgement of when the baptism was given, there was a speaking in tongues. Now, two things with that here. Let me go to the next slide here. Is this. What we see in Acts, this tongue speaking, is not the public gift of tongues interpretation from 1 Corinthians 12, 8 through 11. If you remember in the Corinthian church, Paul talks about how he says you're supposed to do all things in order. One or two or three of you can speak in tongues and they can interpret. But he says, but this what he's talking about here in Acts, this is a personal praying in the Spirit, as Romans 8, 26 and 27 reminds us. Paul reminds us, he says, I wish all you would pray in the Spirit and with all understanding. This is more of a personal kind of prayer language. And then second is here, Paul says that not everyone will speak publicly in tongues and interpret. That's in 1 Corinthians, once again, 12. But he encouraged all to pray in tongues, 1 Corinthians 14. Now, sometimes when we talk about this, you might get nervous about this, or you might have no clue about this or never experienced that. But the gift of tongues, interpretation, and speaking in tongues, the baptism of the Spirit, it's not scary. I remember when I was growing up in church, my Sunday school teacher would talk to me and he would say, you know, the Holy Spirit isn't a ghost. He's not scary. He's a person. He's alive. He's there to bring thoughts of God, as John 14 says, to bring thoughts of God to our mind, to encourage us, to give us new gifts, a new anointing and power to go out and to be a witness. And so there's some logical reasons why speak in tongues? Why is this the initial gift or the confirming sign of baptism in the Spirit? And this is from our belief in our tradition and tribe and what we look at Scripture just as kind of a plain reading of Scripture. So with that, if you have some questions or concerns, we can talk about afterwards. But here's kind of some logical reasons why tongue speaking is associated with the confirming sign of baptism. First, speaking is our chief means of communication. God calls us to go out and be witnesses, but we do that by our lives and by more times than not, we speak about who Jesus is. Secondly, the main outcome of the Spirit baptism is empowered communication. Jesus empowered his disciples in the early church to go out and to communicate, to speak to the world around them about Jesus and the Messiah. And so it seems befitting that the Spirit would empower us to go out and empower our communication to be a witness. Third thing is this: all humans struggle to control our own tongues. We know in the book of James it says that the tongue can set a world on fire, and the tongue is one of the hardest things to master. Isn't it great that God gave us the Spirit to overflowing to help us with our tongue, with our language, how we communicate, how we love our spouse, love our friends, how do we love one another in here? And the last thing we surrender is our freedom in speech. There's a lot of things we'll give up, don't we? There's a lot of things we'll give up in a relationship or in a job, but boy, having to be quiet, boy, that's a hard, I mean, I know how many of you were kids, and I was one of those kids, I had a hard time surrendering my tongue. I was Mr. King of Sass to my parents. As you probably know me, I am a talker. And it was so hard to bite my tongue and surrender that power and that freedom of speech. But when we're filled with the Spirit comes in and helps us to have Spirit-empowered communication and to be a Spirit-empowered witness. It doesn't mean that we're not going to struggle or that we're just going to get it perfect every time. But a lot of times we have that freedom of speech is that hard thing we want to surrender to in our walk with Christ sometimes. We can forgive someone, give money away, go help serve, help somebody with our gifts and talent, go help them fix something at their house. But sometimes speaking wisely with our tongue and having God-ordained, Spirit-empowered speech, sometimes this is a hard thing for us to do in our walk with Christ. And so here's where we're going to end with this. How do I receive the Spirit baptism? How does one receive it? A, it's not me. No one can impart you the gift. No one can you know, touch you and boom, you've got it. The Spirit gives the gifts. It's a free gift of the Spirit. The Spirit gives as He fills and as when He does that. So a church can't say, hey, we're going to do this tonight. You're going to receive. No, it's up to the Spirit to give. But we have some things on our part we can do. And if we look at the book of Acts, there's an emergent pattern here as I close, is this. There's an emerging pattern. First, draw near to Jesus in prayer. Whenever we see the Spirit being poured out in Acts, we see that the church or some of the Roman officials and the Roman citizens that were living alongside the Jewish believers, there seemed to be this direction towards Jesus. There was a direction to worship, direction to prayer, and that's the pattern that we see. It's the first thing. The second thing we see is that Jesus will begin to pour out His Spirit upon you. And then what we saw is when these people were beginning to pray and worship, it's signs and wonders began to start happening. And there began to be this repentance and this conviction that came upon that body or that person that was seeking to know more about God and who God is and the reality of who He is. And then the third pattern that we see is that in the book of Acts is that you begin to speak out loud from the inner urging of the Spirit rather than your known language and reason. In Acts chapter 1 and 2, when it says that the flames that looked like fire appeared above the 120, it says that they began to speak and give praises to God. But it was in other languages that were known around that world at that time that they were in Jerusalem. And those people began to speak from the inner urge of, man, I've got to praise God. Kind of like Ezekiel, right? I had fire shut up in my bones, and I've got to praise Him. How many of you have ever had that? You've been walking with the Lord, and all of a sudden, you just feel that urge. You've got to praise. You could be mowing your lawn, but you just feel that song, and you start singing, or you start saying, you're praying for your neighbor, or praying for that situation. That's that inner urging of the Spirit. The Spirit urges us to pray, and to intercede with us, and to groan with us. And so we see these three patterns in Acts. People drew near to Jesus in prayer. And the Jesus Spirit began to pour out on them. They started doing things and repenting and confessing their sin. And then we begin to see there was this inner urge of the Spirit, and they began to speak and praise God. And this, the Spirit gave them utterance and baptized them with the tongues. And so let me say this. Like salvation, receiving the Holy Spirit is free. You can't earn it. I can't give it to you. The Assemblies of God can't bestow it upon you or anything like that. We can't do any of that. It's a free gift of the Spirit. You have to seek the Holy Spirit. Free gifts are not earned. They're just simply received. A lot of times, sometimes people struggle and strive for something. It's just seeking after more of Jesus, seeking more of the Spirit. One thing we want to, we encourage you is that, you got to yield your speech. You got to yield your whole person to who Jesus is. Like we sang in that song, Lord, come consume me, that last song, Fresh Fire. You can't say, oh, Lord, you can have my tongue and that's it, but everything else I'm keeping over here. You can't do that. What we see in Acts is that they were all in for Jesus. They were seeking Him, and the Spirit filled them to overflowing. Doesn't mean they lived perfect. Doesn't mean they didn't stumble or they didn't need to continually seek Jesus. But they were willing to say, Lord, I'm all in. You can have everything. And the physical part of tongues and receiving the baptism is this. It's just yielding. Now here's what's interesting. When we read the Apostle Paul, if we read in Acts 19 where Paul... his Damascus call. Remember when Paul, the Apostle Paul, was on his way to Damascus to take the believers, not Acts 19, I'm sorry, in Acts, earlier in Acts, when Paul was going to take the believers. Remember, he meets Jesus on the way, and what happens? He has an encounter with Jesus. He's filled with Him. He meets Him. He's filled with the Spirit. Guess what happened? Does Scripture say Paul spoke in tongues there? No. No. But what we see later on, we know Paul spoke in tongues. We know he prophesied. And Paul said, I wish all of you would pray daily in tongues. So I say that to say this. When you seek the Holy Spirit and when you seek the Lord to fill me up, He may not fill you up or baptize you in this moment. Now, He can, and you should expect to be. Oh, whenever we come to Christ to fill us up, God, to meet me. But sometimes we all know that God's not on our timetable, right? And we know from the Apostle Paul's life, we know he encountered Jesus there. He had a radical encounter. Now, we can assume maybe he did speak in tongues there. However, Scripture doesn't record that like it does in other instances where the believers sought the Spirit and it says they were instantly filled. Regardless of it, why I bring this up is that if you seek God and seek the Spirit today, and if you don't have that overwhelming presence and you begin to speak in tongues, that's okay. Keep seeking the Holy Spirit day by day. Say, Holy Spirit, fill me up. Fill me up. I seek you. And just yield and listen to Spirit and just let praises come out. Praise God. And I believe he can do it instantaneously now. Or he might do it when you're driving home. I've heard many testimonies where somebody was seeking the Holy Spirit And they came and they prayed, and they didn't feel like, you know, they didn't feel like, oh, I didn't feel like, you know, I really encountered the Holy Spirit, but I'm going to constantly be seeking him. And I've heard testimony after testimony. They were driving home, and all of a sudden the power of the Spirit filled their little Honda or filled their little Toyota. Or they were at home taking care of the kids, and all of a sudden that inner praise, that inner urge in the Spirit to start praising and thanking God came out, and all of a sudden they just started speaking in another language they didn't know about. Now, once again, I want to highlight and remind us that Jesus wants to reveal himself to you. And through this process, he wants to reveal himself in the sense of that he's with you, that he's empowered you to have supernatural, spirit-empowered speech to go out and be a witness. And he wants you to receive this free gift. Now, some of us have to come, like I said, come from different theological backgrounds and might struggle with this or might not. Regardless, it's here in Scripture from over 2,400 years ago. This was the promise that God the Father gave to us. And so it's something that we should desire. And so things you can do, like I said, is draw near to Jesus in prayer. Ask him to begin to pour out his Spirit in you. And when you feel that inner urging, that presence of the Spirit, just begin to praise him and seek him. And you say, Lord, I want to receive your gift. I want to receive the baptism of the Spirit to be an empowered witness. And from there, I've met people that have instantaneously received that baptism of the Spirit. I've met others that have, it's been 4 months, 5 months, a year. Now, I don't know. I can't explain it all. How does God work? We seem to see in Acts, it seems to be more consistent or more instantaneous or more a shorter time frame. But once again, how many of you know, once you put God in a box, what does he do? He blows that box out. He blows us out of our little conformity. But we do know the Spirit is given to us to receive. This baptism of the Spirit is there to empower us. It's there to confirm God's presence in your life. It's there to give you a holy, Spirit-empowered speech to go out, to speak to your, maybe if you're married, speak to your spouse, then go out and speak to your neighbors, your coworkers, boss, to go out and be a witness. But the Spirit is there as long as we just come with open arms and hands and say, Lord, fill me up. Just like right here, we know the Spirit's in us, but when we seek Jesus, continually seek after him, he's going to constantly keep pouring his Spirit in us. He'll keep filling us and surrounding us with his Spirit. And so today, here's what we're going to do. We're going to end on this. We're going to play a song here. And just for our response time, we've got about 5 minutes here. We're going to play that song again, that new song called Fresh Fire here in a minute. And I'm just going to encourage you, if you want to sit, stand, you want to come forward, if you want to seek the Holy Spirit, just take a moment. Some of you in here, I know you've been filled with the Spirit. You walk in the ways of the Spirit. Some of you, maybe you haven't. Some of you, maybe you're struggling, going through some hard things right now. The Spirit is there to comfort us, to guide us. Right, it's there to be that spiritual backbone, that spiritual firmament to say, hey, you can make it. That the Lord is with you, and as Paul wrote in Ephesians, you know, having done everything, stand firm then, and we stand firm by the power of the Spirit and arming ourselves with the baptism of the Spirit and the armor of God. And so today we're just gonna take this moment. As the song's playing, it'll be real low. Just take a moment and just invite the Holy Spirit in your life. Maybe you have an issue. Maybe you need God to show up in your life and do something. But just seek him and ask him to fill you. And if you've never been filled with the Spirit, just start seeking him, praying, asking him to fill you. And you can come up front or come up see me. We'll pray, or one of our elders here. And let's just take a moment, church. And let's just ask the Holy Spirit to come. Holy Spirit, come right now. Fill your church up again. Speak to us, Lord, today, we pray. you want prayer, come forward, we'll anoint you with oil. And let's seek him, church. If you want prayer for me, pray for me, come forward. And let's seek him.